Welcome to Voices of the Valley. The first season of Whitewater Valley Presbytery's podcast explores the theme of justice. Episode 6 features Reverend Carol McDonald discussing the origins and growth of the Covenant Network of Presbyterians and its continuing call to build a fully inclusive church.
Welcome to episode number 6 of Voices of the Valley. Today, we are very excited to welcome a guest who really needs no introduction. I imagine about 97% of our listeners have been blessed by her friendship and ministry in some form or fashion. But for the remaining 3%, the Reverend Carol McDonald is one of the guiding lights of the Presbyterian Church USA. A graduate of Yale Divinity School, she has served as a pastor, a mid-council executive, a camp and conference center director, and so much more. And she currently serves as parish associate at Northminster Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
Thank you, Beau. We have invited Carol to join us today because of her role as chair of finance and congregational engagement for the Covenant Network of Presbyterians, an organization advocating for the full equity of LGBTQIA plus people in church and society. As we finish up our justice theme season of Voices of the Valley, we are grateful for Carol and all her work towards God's desire for social righteousness.
Carol, thank you so much for joining us today on Voices of the Valley.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start today. We'd like to start today, if you're willing. Telling us a little bit about the Covenant Network. I think there are a lot of people out there that maybe are not familiar. And if you could tell us about how Covenant Network was formed and what it means today, and just give us a little information.
Be happy to. The Covenant Network came into being following the 1996 General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA. 1996 was the year that an amendment to the Book of Order, G6106B, was proposed to the presbyteries that pretty much said you can never ordain a gay or lesbian person because the qualifications include fidelity in marriage and chastity in singleness. And so I suppose if you were a chaste, we made jokes about the chastity police back then. I suppose if you were a chaste gay or lesbian person at that time, you could have been ordained. But even then, there was concern about that. And following that assembly, a group of pastors decided that something needed to happen and we needed to work against such legislation. And so the Covenant Network was formed in 1997, was when it had its inaugural kind of meeting. It was the two co-founders really were the Reverend Dr. John Buchanan, who was pastor at the time of Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago, and the Reverend Dr. Robert Bowl, who at the time, I believe, was at First Presbyterian Church in Fort Worth, Texas, later moved to Village Presbyterian Church in Kansas City. And those two surrounded themselves with a cadre of strong Presbyterian progressive leaders and congregations. And in 1997, we sent another overture to presbyteries trying to reverse the action that was passed in 96 and passed by the presbyteries. And so really the Covenant Network started as to monitor legislation and to work towards full inclusion through the Book of Order, through the legislative process. And it was a series of attempts. 1997 was the first. The next one was 2001, when an overture left that assembly. That assembly was held in Louisville. And that overture, again, would have reversed the action of G60106B. It failed to pass the presbyteries. And then finally, towards the end of that first decade of the 21st century, the 2010 assembly in Minneapolis, moderated by ruling elder Cynthia Bolbach, the amendment passed the assembly to remove G60106B. And in May of 2011, it passed the presbyteries. And so that's when that piece of legislation. So then the emphasis shifted to equality in marriage. We had had a couple of victories. The Long Beach Assembly in 2000 sent an overture to the presbyteries requiring that, saying that no church building could be used for a same-sex marriage or a holy union. And that overture was defeated. And I think fairly, I can't remember, that's a long time ago, substantially, but we did have that victory. In fact, at the assembly in 1998 in Charlotte, we had a small victory when the assembly committee on church orders and ministry was able to get an authoritative interpretation passed saying that a whole variety of things were not to be judged as folks were considered for ordination, and including that was sexuality and gender, more sexuality at that point. So then emphasis shifted to marriage equality. And again, it was a journey. We started in 2010. By then I was doing sort of, I always called it my political work for the Covenant Network. I would sort of monitor committees at the GA and work with commissioners. And at that 2010 assembly, we lost a chance to get an amendment to the presbyteries. But in 2014, the Detroit Assembly, one of the moderatorial candidates, the overture was coming to the assembly that marriage would be two persons. And one of the moderatorial candidates, actually, the Reverend Dr. John Wilkinson, made, I think, the amendment that saved the overture when he said traditionally between a man and a woman. It was two persons, but traditionally. And so I remember. And then by March of 2015, that had passed and passed the presbyteries, at which point the Covenant Network began to sort of do a little dance about, okay, do we really need to be still in existence? We were formed to do this legislative work. I went on the board in January of 2015 and was part of those conversations, which were quite something, quite exciting. When you had the old timers saying, well, we need to go out of business. And those of us who were sort of the new timers, and we had a new executive director at that point, who didn't believe, we believe now, we had a lot of advocacy work to be done. And so that's been the focus over the last 9 years, actually, is really, now we've got the legislation, right. We really need to focus on the advocacy. So that's become a prime, and education, you know, equip, engage, and educate. Those are our three E words. And so we've been working on those particular things.
Wow. That really helps give some context to when I became aware of Covenant Network. I was in seminary in 2010 when that General Assembly occurred, and very much, you know, LGBTQIA plus concerns were at stake. And we seminary students were asking our professors who were part of the denomination, how can we contribute? How can we move this ball forward toward better equality? And one of my professors at Louisville, Dr. Amy Planting Appow, happened to be part of Covenant Network at the time, and believe still may be, and had given a keynote address. And I started reading some of her work and having some conversations with her. And she, through the Covenant Network, really contributed to my own evolution with regard to this matter. And so I'm curious, thinking of my own evolution at that time, how have you seen attitudes shifting over the years? And on top of that, how do attitudes still need to shift?
I appreciate the example of Amy Planting Appow, because I think one way attitudes shift, it's different for different people, of course, but I think the fact that she spoke, and she's a scholar, the fact that Mark Ochtemeyer, who was part of Peace, Unity, Purity Task Force, child of two very strong, powerful conservative voices in the denomination, his parents, Paul and Elizabeth Octemeyer, that Mark Octemeyer basically changed his mind and did some wonderful work for us for the Covenant Network in terms of Bible studies and theological work, and some of which is on our website under the Resources tab. Also, the work even before that of Jack Rogers, again, another sort of West Coast, more conservative voice who just began to get more and more realizing that doing the proof texting piece was not helpful. But I think for most of us, and I was thinking about this as I was thinking about conversation with you all, I think for many, most of us, if not, well, most of us, it really is about knowing people. Mm-hmm. And when you meet the people and you realize there is absolutely nothing about this person that should prevent this person from serving as a ruling elder or as a pastor. And I think the first person who really moved me, and I wasn't really anti anything, was a guy named John Tolley, who was the director of drama at First Presbyterian Church in Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. And I remember meeting him through friends back in the late 70s, early 80s. And he was a graduate of Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, and ultimately ended up being ordained by the Metropolitan Church, which is the church founded by and for gay, lesbian folks along a number of years ago. But I remember thinking, gosh, why isn't John a minister among us? Hmm. And then, you know, as I got to know more and more people, I thought, this is crazy. And so that's one thing that really kind of pushed me. In fact, it pushed me to submit my name to be a commissioner to that Albuquerque Assembly in 1996, because I knew that stuff was coming, the potential overtures and attempt to block totally ordination. And I thought, this is about people, and and I really want to speak my piece. And I think the other thing that has helped people change their minds, if you find yourself in a very, very conservative place, and you hear people just talking about sin and, you know, and how awful that, I think for some people, that's a real turnoff. And they think, that's not right. And so it pushes people to think more positively and progressively about things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's scholarship. I think it's personal relationships. I think it's the kind of stuff we get hit with all the time that we just want to push back against and say, stop. And the omnipotence of God and the sovereignty of God. I think it's about your theology. And right. And if you are one who thinks that God is good and God creates good, God doesn't create junk, mm-hmm. who shouldn't be honored. Mm-hmm. But I think that's how the thing progresses.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up about relationships, because I think probably everybody's had that similar experience where all this policy and talk and slow, hard, difficult work and transformation it can be so tasking, you know, this can be such a job. But when you meet and you sit and you get to know and you build a relationship with someone who is a part of these communities, that's where it's transformational. And when we get in the messiness of interpreting what God wants us to do, we've heard this, you know, it doesn't matter as much, because we have this mysterious God. Mm-hmm. I think I've had that same experience. So, wow, so much history, Carol. You have been, that was such a, and I was a little bit younger when all that was going through, and I was had another job, but, you know, my spouse was coming home from these presbytery meetings, stunned, and, you know, I remember him coming home one day saying, do you know you're married to a flaming liberal? And, you know, just the frustration that everybody was going through that during that period. And it's interesting to hear that chronological list that you gave us. So we have that history. We have, you know, and I love how Covenant Network has kind of, you know, they reached their goal. So they moved on to that next chapter, setting new goals and, mm-hmm. So if we, you know, if there is a congregation or individual who wants to get more involved and become a stronger advocate mm-hmm. for LGBTQIA plus equity, why give us, you know, what Covenant mm-hmm. Network does for that community? You know, what kind of resources do they have? How might they learn more and find mm-hmm. it? You know, an avenue towards participating more. Yeah. I know Northminster, mm-hmm. they have gone through this process.
Yeah, let me describe that process a little bit, which actually, I think I told you, Bo and Jenny, that I've always been a Valley girl ever since I came to Indiana with my husband in 1973.
This is the big reveal, watch out.
Well, but I've always been a member of Wabash Valley. And have worked on all these issues in Wabash Valley for all these years. So when I moved back to Indianapolis in 1989 to serve on the Synod staff and started worshiping at Northminster and then became a parish associate when Terry Thomas was the pastor, that happened in 2015, I became a parish associate. I could sense that this congregation, that Northminster, which had been fairly traditional, I would never say creepy conservative, but but it had been fairly traditional, very Presbyterian, but I could sense it was beginning to move towards a much more progressive stance, thanks to Terry's very out there, you know, not avoiding issues kind of thing. And after she retired and the pandemic hit, but a couple of things happened sort of all at once. I was asked to be the pastor nominating committee liaison to a church in Lafayette Central Presbyterian. And they were seeking a co-pastor as their pastor was getting ready to retire in the next year, year and a half or so. So happens that Central had, as its student intern, actually he was a member of Central, had been an elder, a gay man who was married to a man, and he became their candidate. And so when he was getting ready for his ordination, I just happened to say to him, well, why don't we ask Brian Ellison to come and preach? Brian's the executive director of the Covenant Network. And I said, please. So my colleague here at the time, Dave Smazik, who was our transitional pastor, I said, Dave, Brian Ellison is coming to preach for Will Ranowski's ordination. Can we have him do something in worship? So he offered the prayers of the people. And then Dave and I organized a gathering we invited a lot of people from all over Whitewater Valley and some Wabash Valley people, but mainly Indianapolis area. And well, some folks came from Bloomington, et cetera. And that was on a Monday morning and Brian spoke and several of our elders were there, including folks from our own pastor nominating committee who was working at the time. And after that happened, I didn't think much of it. And at the next session meeting, one of the elders said she brought material about the Covenant Network. And she said, I think we ought to consider this. And so I got him more information. And then at the next session meeting, so that would have been, I get my dates mixed up, but probably March or April of 2022, the session voted to sign the call to Covenant Community and become a Covenant Network church. And one of the elders was really kind of cute. He said, well, this set us apart in a good way, is what he meant. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, yes, it will, because I don't think there's any other Indianapolis area Presbyterian church that's part of the Covenant Network of Presbyterians. So that sold him right away because it set us apart. So that's kind of how it happened here. I didn't really push anything. However, what was cool is after that happened, the mission team elder said, well, we really need to give some money. So we gave some money. And then the next year, when I didn't say anything about it, she again mentioned it. And so then this year, I did fill out the form that the mission team now asks people to fill out, requesting a donation. And I understand they're contributing $2,500 as part of mission team's budget for 2024 mm-hmm. for the Covenant Network. But that's how it happened here. And then we started putting it in the bulletin. At the end of the bullet, we had already endorsed Matthew 25. That happened at the end of 2020, actually. And so this was second. So now both of those things are on the bulletin. My next goal is maybe I shouldn't say this, but my next goal is to get them. That kind of stuff needs to be on your website as well. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be like, boom, visible as soon as somebody hits your website. That's how people really know you're. And for a long time, we had said we're a welcoming congregation.
Right.
But this is a very visible sign that you're welcome here.
Well, and as you know, we know a lot of churches that do start their service out, we are a welcoming church.
Yeah.
And it's very clear they are, but mm-hmm. they have not put that label on their church. And you know, there can be good things and bad things about labels, but mm-hmm. as people are searching for a community, it can be very helpful.
And I think as you say, you're a welcoming church, that's where we get in, well, lots of things. Yeah, to have those visible signs, but also to be in worship. Even before Brian Shivers arrived as Northminster's pastor, Dave Smazek and I were often pushing back on some of the binary language, you know, always using brothers and sisters, and we would encourage siblings and friends and that kind of mm-hmm. So now I really, I'm so attuned to that. It just bugs me when all I hear is the binary language. The thing that has really changed, or at least become much more prominent to me in recent years, and which is one of the things we're working hard on in the Covenant Network, is there's sexuality, there's also gender identity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's taking me a while to really get my head around all the gender identity pieces. And that's one of the things that's been so good about being on the Covenant Network board, is to be on there with folks who are non-binary. I don't mm-hmm. think we have anybody who's transgender. We might, I don't know. I mean,
it's not necessarily important to fully understand it.
Right, right.
I think the importance is to respect.
Exactly.
That it's not our story to tell.
Right.
It's not our place to judge. And it's okay not to understand it, but it should be, as people of God, to be respectful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're listening to Voices of the Valley, a podcast of Whitewater Valley Presbytery.
Yeah. It strikes me also that we're not just talking about a plan to grow a church or
right.
things like this. This is... Right. a safety issue for many people, that if I walk into a church that says they're welcoming, but it's a very vague welcome,
right.
and then my very identity mm-hmm. comes under attack,
mm-hmm.
that can result in violence, that can result in mm-hmm. very difficult psychological mm-hmm. abuse. And so what we're talking about here is creating context where people can truly be safe and secure to worship God, to build community with others. And I think that can get lost in the discussion because mm-hmm. it gets shifted to politics, or
right.
it gets shifted to a culture war issue. Mm-hmm. And like Jenny said, and like you said, relationships, once you start talking to people, you understand that this is a scary mm-hmm. issue for many people.
Mm-hmm.
And what else is the church called to do but provide refuge
right.
for people,
right?
And I'm so thankful that you've been part of this process. I also am really thankful for your manner of leadership, that you're not walking into a congregation and saying I know all the answers but in my experience, you've been somebody that has said, why don't you talk to this person? And connecting and network is such a perfect word for what Covenant Network does and your role within that. So I don't have a question there, but I just want to say I'm thankful.
Well, and I'm really thankful for how the Covenant Network has evolved. And we're having a really good year in 2024. We have great co-moderators, Matt Gaventa, who is the pastor at University Presbyterian Church in Austin, Texas, and Slats Tool, who is Princeton trained, but not an ordained pastor, but who lives in Minneapolis, and they write wonderful liturgy and do all kind. And but Slatt's main money making job is at a bank. But and they've really, Matt and Slatt's have really guided us to really, as J. Herbert Nelson used to say, get up off your blessed assurance and do something for Jesus. And he really did say that in front of 600 people. I heard it. And so our committees are really, you know, in fact, I mean, finance and congregational engagement, that we had a wonderful meeting this week. I have some great colleagues on that team, including Slatt's. And we're going to analyze 25 years of data and figuring out, you know, how we might proceed in re-engaging with some congregations. And yes, we need money. Well, we always need money. We have a wonderful kind of program development committee that does, we call them covenant conversations. We're going to have one in the Quad Cities area, Western Illinois, Eastern Iowa, at the end of April. We've had one in Chicago. I really want us to have one here in Indianapolis. And that's one of my next covenant network goals, is, and where you use folks from the local community as part of panels and, you know, and educational pieces, and just to get folks talking to one another. We're starting a team of what we call covenant fellows, who our executive director is really pretty overworked. Brian Ellison is an amazing human being. Mm-hmm. He's a fine theologian. He's a wonderful, in just a wonderful teacher. He is a gay man, which is excellent, I mean, in terms of our, of, you know, who our witness is. And but he can't do it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, he spends a lot of time on the phone and he travels a lot for us. He's not technically full-time, although he's also serves as the state clerk of the Synod of Mid-America. Wow. So we're hoping the covenant fellows can go out and do some of the teaching. And in fact, I'm going to do a little, I'm not really, we're hoping to have young adults do this, but I'm going to go to a church in May and sort of do a little test of this to see if it kind of works with a board member or somebody going. Brian right now is involved in a four-week course with Covenant Networks in partnership with APSE about LGBTQIA plus youth and youth ministry with LGBTQIA youth. And Slatt's is involved in that as well. And then we also still do some advocacy and work at General Assembly. There's an overture coming to this assembly, started in Olympia Presbytery out on the West Coast, which none of us would ever have suspected would be sort of an ally in some of this work. And actually, one of our board members, a young man, Daniel Heron, is in that presbytery and helped get this overture passed. And it's now been concurred with by enough other presbyteries that it will go. And it really, speaking of history, it kind of goes back. It sounds like something that happened in the early 80s. When a candidate in Pennsylvania said he could not ordain a woman, that he would, you know, he wouldn't prevent it. He would, somebody else could do it, but he could not be part of an ordination of women. So basically what we're, this overture says, I think in essence, is you cannot say, I won't ordain someone who is elected by a congregation or who is. So that's a whole other kind of inclusion that we're working towards. So we still do that kind of General Assembly work, although we don't, and because of the way General Assemblies are working these days, we can't do the same kind of political work that we did for a long time. It's too complicated. There just aren't enough people and there's not enough time and you're not with the folks. So, but I'm really pleased at how we've evolved over the last, well, since 2015, 9 years.
Yeah.
And I will say, by researching for this interview, the websites has a lot of good information, good information for congregations, resources. And I will say, Slatt's liturgy is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I was reading.
Don't they do a good job?
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like there are a lot of ways in for those who are interested in contributing, and those ways are emerging as the mission of the Covenant Network transforms in some ways. And so like Jenny said, the website could be a great way to get in touch with people if any of the listeners are interested in becoming part.
Absolutely. And we encourage not only congregations, but we have a very strong list of individual donors. Mm-hmm. And we have some pretty significant individual donors, I think. So, you know, you don't have to just sign on for your congregation. But as I say, we've really worked to do the educate, equip, empower, kind of the three E's. It has been our kind of our recent thing, a bit of a shift in the way the original call to covenant community was written, but it's still the same. We want a church as just and generous as God's grace. I mean, that was the tagline and still is.
And it's even if you're a church that's not at this point, mm-hmm. place where you know, want to put that in your bulletin,
right.
whatever, it creates a central point to start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And building those relationships, yeah. that are so important.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see what's even happening here at Northminster in this particular congregation. I think our associate pastor, Karen Herbst-Kim, is working to gather folks together to think about how we can be. I know some folks have marched in the Pride Parade, but we're trying to mm-hmm. gather folks together to think about how we can make a bigger impact. Different ways we can do that, encouraging what's happening at Camp Pioca with Kingdom Camp, KINDOM Camp. That's also going to be at Stronghold, which is in our synod as well in Northwest Illinois, part of a movement that came out of Texas. And so I think we've got some exciting things.
We should give Pioca that plug. Mm-hmm. That's coming up. I don't know when registration.
Not
if there's
sure
an
either.
End date, but if you have youth that are interested in.
Mm-hmm. We'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. And if you're an adult who would like to volunteer to be part of the team for the kind, I think they're also accepting applications for folks to work at the camp.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Maybe we can get that link.
Yeah.
That information on there too, as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
The phrase was a church just
as just and generous as God's grace.
So let it be.
And, you know, and it's probably no accident that the hymn that has been associated with Covenant Network since its beginning is God of grace and God of glory. You know, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for all of these things. And, you know, every time I sing that, of course, it was my husband's favorite hymn. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my favorite hymns. But every time I sing that, I think of.
Yes.
The work that has happened over these, you know, and you think of the saints, Pam Byers, who was the network's first executive director, who really did a yeoman's job, but an incredible job of getting everything organized. And Tricia Dykers-Koenig, who was actually the first staff member of the network as a national organizer. Oh my goodness, Tricia was amazing, is amazing. Still, she works for the General Assembly. But boy, she had us all organized all across the country. We knew what was happening in presbyteries, and, you know, and who we could call and who we could work with. And so I've learned a lot, not just being on the board, but I learned a lot before I even came to the board of the Covenant Network about.
I'm so grateful for all those people that have made those strong, hard movements in our history. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Carol, today.
Oh,
and
thank you.
We will continue to pray for the ministry of Covenant Network and just hope that God continues to bless others through this work. Yeah.
And you can just go, it's covenantpress.org. And you can find us on the web, and Brian Ellison will answer the phone. And there are, as Jenny mentioned, there are some wonderful resources. So I hope people will take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for asking. It's exciting.
This was such a wonderful way to end our first season of this podcast. We I think I told you earlier, Bo and I, like, we got to get Carol McDonald on here somehow. She's done so many, you know, your name came up with different points of, you've done so much work in with justice and this theme mm-hmm. of justice. And then we did not want to leave this season without addressing LGBTQIA+ plus, mm-hmm. How could you not talk about this issue mm-hmm. when we're talking about justice? So it's very exciting. I'm glad we were able to do this.
Yeah, me too. Would you be willing to close our podcast with a blessing or a charge?
Sure. Yeah. Let's pray. God of grace and God of glory, we give you thanks that in your wisdom and your omnipotence, you created this world and called it good, that you created humanity and called it good in all its shapes and forms and sizes. And we pray that you would grant us wisdom and courage to live each hour, each day, each year, knowing that you walk with each one of us, that you empower us to speak up, to stand up, and to speak out. We are grateful. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of the Valley, and to our guest, Reverend Carol McDonald, for sharing the history and growth of the Covenant Network of Presbyterians and its advocacy for building a fully inclusive church for members of the LGBTQIA+ community. We also thank you for listening to the first season of Voices of the Valley. Watch for some special edition podcasts rolling out throughout the summer months of 2024, and then for season 2 to premiere this fall. For our hosts, Reverend Bo Brown and Elder Jenny Hymack, and Presbytery Support Staff Don West, this is Craig Shaw reminding you to let your voice be heard.